have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And your Illinois Fighting Illini have defeated the Notre Dame Fighting Irish on the night that their head football coach is taken away from them after one decade by a final score of 82-72. We will certainly discuss if that news impacted the basketball team. But first, let's talk about Illinois itself. This was the Illinois team that we signed up for this year. Obviously, going into the game, it looked pretty damn sketchy with reports of lots of guys being out. Really ended up only being BBV and Curbelo, BBV being a little bit under the weather, Curbelo having an undisclosed injury. Other than that, everyone playing. Shout out Trent for coming in and playing on a half of a knee and half of a shoulder. But this was the team that we actually expected, and a nice little, it's 2-0 Big Ten now. So quick takeaways after the 10-point victory.
We're back. I mean, it's nice to see this team that we finally expected. Wasn't perfect, but you took care of Notre Dame. You took care of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I think it helps a lot to play at a Pac State Farm Center. I mean, this is probably the best game we've had so far at home, and it's nice to feed the big man 28 points from Kofi Coburn. Like, we gotta appreciate this dude. He's a monster.
You said, what did you say, most underappreciated?
Yeah.
Is he underappreciated? Or
I think
he's
super underappreciated.
Is he appreciated as much as he, I mean, because he's extremely appreciated.
I think he's super underappreciated. When you look at, like, what was the turning point in the Brad Underwood era, obviously it was getting Io to come, but also we started winning once we had Kofi. And if you look at Kofi's record compared to anyone else other than BBV, who is also in his recruiting class, he's had two seasons of Big Ten play where we had the best record in the Big Ten when you combine those seasons, and now he missed one of our two losses at Marquette. When we've had Kofi, we've played winning basketball. It's pretty simple as that.
My tweet was he's the most dominant center in Illini basketball history. I'm not going to go back and look through who was on the team in the 50s, the 60s, 70s. But since I've been watching Illini basketball starting probably in 2004, he's the most dominant center that we've ever seen.
It's a quick run there from Mike Thorne and Adonis De La Rosa, that back-to-back combination.
Yeah, ADLR
aside of that,
was definitely.
Aside ADLR from that, it's was, probably... It's probably,
yeah. And Matisse.
You did omit the 1980s there. I would say there were a lot of great.
You didn't watch the
1950s. Did belong
team.
To the Illini. Yeah. Yeah, the 1915 team, yeah. The national champion.
That was still a guard led team.
What I will say though is, like, you had three really, really good games of what not to do against Kofi. Last three games, what not to do against Kofi, what to do against Kofi. I thought Cincinnati, like, did a pretty good job. And still, he just 11 for 16 from the field, 28 points, 8 rebounds. Like, I don't know how. I feel like Notre Dame had everything they needed to do. They needed to stop him, and they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, they started with the zone, and I was a little nervous. Kofi made some nice passes
really
out
nice
of
passes.
The double teams, and then he just kind of waited, was patient. We turned the ball over a lot at the start of the game, which was frustrating, but we kind of settled in, got him the ball, and we fed the most dominant player in college basketball, and he scored 28 points. It was like he could have scored more, really.
You made all your free throws.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you got to give
yeah,
it to him.
Give him credit.
Makes
yeah.
the front end
yes,
or both
in the
one-on-one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also made it down the stretch. Like, free throws, fortunately, we struggled a little early in the
six
game.
6 for 9. I mean, that's about
yeah,
where
we'll
he shoots
take 66%.
Yeah, that's where above where he right around where he shoots percentage wise. Yeah,
and Alfonso Plummer, ice in his veins.
Absolutely,
just
8 for 8 has not. You know, shout out Tyler, who has pointed out we're not announcers, so we don't have the announcers jinx that the 18 for 18. I will look. He's gonna miss a free throw this year, so don't blame us for when he does. But 21 points, and it's interesting he had 21. That's impressive that he was able to put up 21 when he only hit 3. He went 3 for 11 from 3, so that shows a little bit of his versatility, that he's not just a one-dimensional guy that he can only shoot from 3. He was getting to the foul line. He was getting to the stripe a little bit. So that is nice to see that he can light it up from 3, and on days that he doesn't light it up from there, he can still put up double digits. So one thing I thought was really interesting was when they announced the starters, Melendez getting the start. I guess it would be over Grandison, right? Is who it would be, who started a lot last year. They don't have the minutes here updated on ESPN yet, so I don't know what their minutes comparison, like a Grandison compared to Melendez, was.
Yeah, Grandison played 18 minutes. RJ played 14. So I think it was a big, because Grandison didn't practice, he was out the game before with the flu. A bunch of guys were out with the flu. I think RJ was available. So that's why. But we were talking about it. It is huge. Role players stepped up. I think when you're playing at home, it's easier for college basketball players, like role players in particular, to be in a comfortable setting, step up. And State Farm Center crowd was amazing. And really, once again, like our losses were on the road and in a neutral site. So these kids are 18 to 22-year-olds. We got to always remind ourselves that. And you're playing in a comfortable environment, State Farm Center. You've practiced there. That's when a guy like Grandison steps up. A guy like RJ Melendez, Luke Goody, both of those guys, some big shots in the first half
to keep us
in
there. Big three from Goody there. It was in the second half. Yeah, big three from Goody there. Love to see that from him. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting coaching. I guess I would imagine that Grandison starts over Melendez at the rest of the year if he's fully healthy. But good for the freshman. Like you said, yeah, at home, it's comfortable. It feels a little bit better. It's not on the road. It's not an uncomfortable environment. He wasn't asked to do too much. He played solid defense for the most part, I think. Grandison looks good out there with Kofi. Sam was talking about how you, Sam, tell us how you really like to see Kofi out there with Grandison. You kind of made a good point to me.
Really like that inside out action. Grandison knows what to do with the ball. The entry passes are chef's kiss. You can't teach those entry passes. It's instinct.
And I think the stats do back that up. Jacob Grandison, highest offensive rating on the team, according to KenPom. So he had a 177 offensive rating, which is like through the roof when you consider that there was a player on Notre Dame who had a 24 offensive rating, Prentice Hub. But yeah, so the high-low works with them. The spacing is nice with them, and that's what you look for out of a guy who's aged. And once again, just another role player who stepped up. We also got to give a lot of credit to another guy who had some nice passes. DeMonte had 5 assists while throwing up at halftime.
He had the flu
and was throwing up at halftime,
according to Brad.
Yeah.
According to who? Brad?
Brad, yeah.
Wow.
We need to confirm
flu
that.
Game.
3 points, 5 assists, 6 boards for someone who was legitimately throwing up and then still playing against high major college
basketball players. What an absolute stud. This guy comes back for a fifth year. What a stud. You mentioned the assists. I do want to talk real quick about Kofi. It says only here 2 assists from Kofi. I'm pretty sure ESPN showed 3 at a given point, but if he has the ability to actually get the ball out when he's being double-teamed, you're going to have to start thinking twice about if you double-team Kofi every single time on the defensive end there. If he can get the ball out to the open guy, that changes the entire complexity of the offense.
Yeah, I feel like it's like making passes easy for him, because on that first possession or second possession, it was a quick pass to DeMonte. DeMonte takes the three. It was almost like a scripted play like you see in football sometimes on the first drive. So making it easy for him and getting those hockey assists too, because Kofi pulls everyone in. So he makes one pass and then someone passes it out. Like there were a couple of open threes for Plummer that he missed in the corner, but it's all because Kofi's bringing everyone in. So if you can just have a little bit of touch, not turn the ball over, that's a really, really good sign.
3 assists a game is enough to kind of get him off your back a little bit on the double. Look, they're going to continue to double team Kofi no matter what. But if you can get 2 or 3 assists a game, then that's enough.
Just to continue off of this, like our main issue in the Marquette game was that Andre had the ball the whole time, wouldn't make the extra pass. Our main issue in that Cincinnati game was Kofi had the ball, didn't make that extra pass. Here's an adjustment that we made. It's obviously not in-game adjustments, but it's an adjustment that was made, and hopefully it continues throughout the season because obviously it looked much more smoother to get these 3-point shots that aren't so forced by our wing players.
And to be totally honest, I was not optimistic about those adjustments because I felt like we didn't do that as much on Friday. But Kofi made some nice passes. There was one play where he just like faked a pass and the defense just like totally flinched. It's a great thing to have at your disposal. Just a few passes out.
And we also talk about adjustments, halftime things too. I feel like the past two games, Brad has made an emphasis to sit Coleman Hawkins because he's been playing erratically in the first half. And then you see a better effort out of him in the second half. Like, he had multiple offensive rebounds there that kept possessions alive for us that, once again, I feel like this was a game Brad outcoached Mike Bray. And
yeah,
we didn't say that about him coaching against Wes Miller or Shaka Smart.
No,
so,
yeah, credit to him.
Well, no, and this is 2 years after he was outcoached by Mike Bray. We didn't have the talent on the floor. 3 years, 2 years, like
the last time we played them in the Big Ten ACC, that was the christening of the new stadium. That was
no, we played them one more.
Are you talking about the second time? Yeah, it's the third time we've played them in the Big Ten ACC in like 6-7 years, maybe.
Yeah, we've played them quite a bit.
It could be something like that.
Yeah,
but Notre Dame has had our number, and the first time with Brad, he was definitely outcoached. We had to hopefully rely on a Trent Frazier like fake rally plus game winning three to even tie the game, I believe.
Right.
But regardless, Brad did make the adjustments and definitely outcoach Mike Bray in this situation.
For sure. I've very admittedly on this podcast I was critical of him after the Cincinnati Marquette games of saying, yeah, he kind of got outcoached by both of them, not making any sort of changes in the second half, particularly with Kofi. And so, hey, I'll gladly eat my words here. Someone did mention, though, the Rio Grande. This is our first episode since after that game. I don't know if we really want to quickly touch upon the.
No.
I don't know if like there's an adjective. Like, all right, here's what we're gonna do. All we're gonna do is we're gonna go around and each give one adjective to describe that game, and then we're just gonna never talk about it again. So if anyone has an adjective to describe that game on Saturday night, go ahead.
This is what you made fun of me on the last podcast, not telling us what we're going to have these like random questions thrown at us.
Well, this is what makes good content is when we get put on the spot like this.
I'm kidding.
When you play a game against UT Rio Grande Valley State, you got to be ready. It's not an adjective, but just nausea, I think, was kind of my adjective.
Nauseous. I would just say frustrating.
Yeah, I was going to say ugly, but you got the win. That's really all you can look back at.
But when you were playing an opponent like that, it's more than just we got the win, I think. Obviously, there were huge concerns after that game. I understand that dudes were out again, but huge, huge concerns. I guess today maybe hopefully alleviated a little bit of those concerns and alleviated concerns of Marquette and Cincinnati. But we had to touch on it.
It happens to every team. It happens to every team. You're going to have a close game. Like, there could be, like, the number three ranked team in the country right now, Gonzaga, who's within 5 points of Tarleton State.
It's a nine-point game with 2 minutes left. We said we weren't going to do any more live commentary anymore.
It's the same type of thing there.
But, yeah, we were talking about it, the role players stepping up. What was interesting was, like you said, Plummer goes 3-for-11. Trent goes 1-for-5 from three. So they combined to go 4-for-16, and the rest of the team went 7-for-11, which you love to see that out of the rest of the guys. I feel like Trent obviously is still not 100%, but just love to see that the effort and the heart from him. We saw, too, like he was dribbling down the lane when he was going on a fast break, seemed to be like avoiding contact with his shoulder and also still not 100% with the knee, but it did kind of remind me of that IO game against Penn State where it's like, wow, he's really coming back. Like, and that just instills confidence.
Which way does 11 go?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing game right there. Yeah, I know Sam kind of has half joked about how we've seen Trent go down like that like 4 times in his collegiate career. Obviously, he's not faking anything. He's a warrior out there. But it's somehow, some way, he has what look like devastating injuries, and he's able to come back after a game, after a half, after almost no time off over the last 5 years, and it's just unbelievable what his body has been able to withstand. That knee injury looked really bad, right? Even Brad was like, we're lucky we kind of got away without the ACL, and it looked like he was going to be gone for a little while. So again, credit to Trent Frazier and DeMonte, right, again, for the flu game. For these guys, just no matter what, fighting to play in this last year, it is just amazing and a privilege to watch.
Yeah, it's crazy. DeMonte, 35 minutes with what he was going through. Trent, 32 minutes. That second half, it did kind of show who Brad's circle of trust is, and that was DeMonte, Plummer, Trent, Kofi, and Grandison, and then a little Coleman-Grandison swap there. But it seemed like Brad was like, okay, this is the rotation. These are guys I trust, and it worked out for us. We took a big lead, kind of took the counter punches from Notre Dame, and then said, okay, we're winning this game by 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Omar Payne is in the midst of the circle of trusts. I don't know, Johnny, if you it was weird, though. BVB out, and it just felt like there were no other centers who played aside from a few minutes.
Yeah, well, that was the one weird thing about the Rio Grande Valley game was BBV had 8 assists somehow. He was pretty good at getting...
It's because they scored 100
Kofi.
Points.
Yeah, yeah. And it was all just like, okay, anyone passes the ball to Kofi, he's going to score. It's just get the ball into right. Kofi. But it was, once again, like Kofi is super well-conditioned, playing
unbelievable. We
32
don't
minutes
hard that
tonight.
Is.
Last game, I think he played the entire second half. Like, when you're 295 pounds and 7 feet and running a 6-minute mile, like... It's insane the things that he can do. He's in such good shape. And
the fact that he runs a 6 mile is incomprehensible at that size.
Do you guys remember like watching him at Oak Hill his senior year? Like we would turn
could
on those
jump.
Games. Yeah, yeah. Could not jump.
Did not
was
get
so
back.
Slow.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh my God, this guy's going to need so much development. And then he just comes to Illinois as a stud, Big Ten freshman of the year. Like he's a stud.
And he's definitely he's playing a very physical game too.
Yeah, he's getting double teamed the entire time.
Taking bodies.
Imagine what another summer with Fletch is going to do to him. Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be a beast next year after another weight room year with Fletch. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. So again, I can't. Johnny and I are going to go back to this as a history of runners. The 6 minute mile. Again, you're running four laps at 90 seconds. If you want to go to your local track there and try to run one in under 90 seconds, and then be also 7 foot, 300 pounds. Again, it's just unbelievable, his conditioning. So props to him and Fletch and everyone.
Yeah, Mike Bray literally said this. He's a physical specimen. Yeah. And his coordination, his touch, his strength, his endurance, like, it's, we are so lucky to have a guy like Kofi Coburn. And once he's gone, probably next year, we're going to be like, wow, we did not appreciate that guy enough, because he's just so easy offense. Like, just dumping the ball into him answers so many problems that instead of like really trying to kick things out, move things around, and especially when you have Curbelo not there to kind of make the defense be a little more disjointed, we're just so lucky to have him.
Why don't we just like appreciate him right now while we have him? I know you don't know what you got till it's gone, but like, hey, if you're listening to this, like, let's just appreciate him.
I think what Johnny's going for is he wants like national media to give Kofi the attention. Like, he wants SportsCenter to like be turned on, and Kofi Coburn is being discussed. And that, I mean, we're Illinois basketball. It's not going to happen, but it should happen because this guy is so dominant.
Hey, if you make it far enough, we were the front page last year, you know, as a one seed. Absolutely. We were, if you got to get back there, obviously, you got to get ranked again, but yeah, let's just appreciate him like a fine wine. Okay. Any other takeaways from tonight? Again, always nice to see Mike Bray, and nice to see a Notre Dame coach stick around for... How long has he been there for?
He's been there a
long
time.
It's a long time. He was there before Brian Kelly, I feel
like.
And after. Absolutely after.
One more takeaway I have tonight. I know we mentioned it a couple of times, but credit to Orange Crush. They sounded great tonight. When you turn on the TV from the start of the game, they were very loud. All of their cheers between Fire Nagy and LSU, 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 they were all very good.
And a certain recruit.
I was going to say, there was another kid from Notre Dame area who made the trip.
Right, and then the whole Fears family being there and them saying, we want Jeremy. They should have continued on with saying, we want Jeremiah, and then we want, I don't know.
Jamari, I think, is the other one. They got very creative with the names. But, yeah, the only thing Big Ten – defenses have to fear is Fears himself once he joins Illinois. All right.
We will recruit Jeremy not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
Yeah, no, that would, if he were to sign with us, though, that's the next Curbelo, that's the next Io, like, sort of player in the Brad Underwood offense. Like, I can't understand how big of a recruiting win that would be, because a lot of the guys we've gotten are like good starters, but I don't know if we have any stars. Maybe Ty Rogers and maybe Jaden Epps would be a star, but Jeremy Fears would be a star, like top 30 recruit. That's that's a really small group of guys that we've had that, once again, just we want to keep this program rolling, and that's your key. It seems like it's really positive vibes from the Illinois camp, and if we can just continue to stack these recruits, I know we're looking at Kylan Boswell, I know we've got a bunch of other guys in the Illinois area, but just locking guys down early, as an Illinois fan base, we get very antsy, so if we can lock things down as quick as possible, we appreciate that. We love Brad's new signing guys in the fall instead of the spring.
Yeah, we definitely get antsy, this fan base. Absolutely. What year was it? It was a couple years ago. It might have been either really early on Brad or at the end of Gross, where like there was this football? This was just Lovey football recruiting now, where it would be late into the cycle, and we'd have like three commits, and Robert would just write about how it's like, yeah, this is just how Lovey's going to work, where we're just going to have like four commits going into like July or something, yeah. And then you hopefully get them in bunches. Yeah, and there was that antsiness for a couple of summers there, I remember very vividly.
Yeah, but that happened with Lovey, obviously, but then also Brad signing like the class of Allen Griffin, Matisse.
Yeah, it was Iowa's class. It was there were I think six guys. Iowa was the only guy in the fall. Then it was like Samba Kane, Georgie, Allen, Tevian, like all those guys at the end there, and we're like, who is this Georgie Bishanafili guy?
He was definitely the lowest rated one. Yeah,
it felt like there were like so many four stars who worked at Oven, and everyone was like, come to Oven, like we gotta get one of these guys.
We took what, four trips to Oven that like semester, that. Or something like that. Yeah, that was like an offer.
Well, I do remember one of the townies telling me how Tevian Jones was just way better than that THT kid who is now in his third year in the NBA.
Yeah.
So
that THT kid is pretty good.
Maybe
his skill set translates better to the league, but
Tevian's translates better to what conference is Southern Utah?
Yeah.
They translate. It's just a league that is predicated on
athleticism,
and THT is obviously not athletic as he plays in the NBA, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, think about the lateral quickness that Tevian Jones has. That
dunk
like
that, okay, so he did his workout, and then at the end, he came back out and he did a sick dunk, and the crowd went nuts.
Between
he
the wind, legs,
windmilled yeah. between the legs, and we're like, okay, we want the real T. Jones, as the Flyer said. So, yes, obviously, all jokes aside there, yeah, THT probably a little bit of a better player than Tevian. But, look, when you're drinking the Illini Kool-Aid there, obviously you're going to convince yourself that the player that's coming to Illinois is better than the player that's going to Iowa State. So, so hopefully a little less antsiness as we can lock down Jeremy Fears. That would be awesome.
Awesome blossom.
Awesome blossom. Oh, my God. It's getting late. Okay. As we transition away a little bit here from basketball and we talk about football, we'll end with Big Ten fantasy. Josh, we'll chat about that at the end. But let's real quick. Is anyone wearing a hat here? No one's wearing a hat. But the hat is with us in spirit. The hat is back in Champaign. After six long years, Illinois football won. We should probably just acknowledge that at the very least. Shout out Chase Brown for going over 1,000 yards. Shout out Brandon for going out strong. Brandon slinging the ball. He was like in that first quarter, second quarter, he was like 6 for 9 for 145 yards and a touchdown or two. Like that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you end 6 years of college. That was freaking awesome to just pour it on there. It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, it was awesome to just see him throw the ball deep multiple times, connect with the receivers. Another huge Isaiah Williams performance. Good to see Casey Washington catch a deep bomb. And love the little creativity from Tony Peterson running the ball with your tight end with Daniel Barker, but it works.
It works because you're not expecting at that angle to get the ball, kind of like that pitch play too.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that to Chase Brown on like the short yardage to go situation where they just kind of pitched to the side there?
Yeah,
it's
that
a
was
sick
sweet.
Play. Yeah, because it just works around the edge there with Barker.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We started in school in 2014, so our freshman year, we beat Northwestern. We had not beaten them since six long years of agony of losing to them year after year. Seeing Pat Fitzgerald walk around with that trophy acts like he owns a state. So really nice. Bielema, year one, beats Northwestern. Lovey couldn't do that in 5 years. And
by the way, if this team has the 2019 schedule, like easy 7 wins.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Maybe even 8.
Maybe they deserve definitely the most. Are you smiling at something, Josh?
No, I agree. I'm not going to disagree on that.
Okay. Just definitely the most competence, at least defensively, I would say.
Yeah. My one takeaway for this game is this is one game. I would put Michigan State, Wisconsin of 2019 in the same category that I will rewatch consistently. Like, I'm just going to keep rewatching it because it just gives me just all the good vibes because it was an awesome game to watch. You know, you're happy for all those seniors.
Yeah, and although it's disappointing, we're probably not going to play in a bowl game because of all the 6-win teams, but good way for a lot of those guys to go out. Tony Adams, Owen Carney on the offensive side, even Brandon Peters. Like, a lot of those guys played through a lot of losses for this program, gave so much to this program, and it's nice to send them off the right way. Jake Tony's Hansen, interview. Mike Epstein.
That was awesome. Yeah, Tony's interview, awesome after the game. Those dudes lining up in the backfield for the kneel down, absolutely awesome. You know what's awesome? Seeing those dudes get on the plane and go recruit the day after the game and get their behinds on a private jet and start visiting dudes and get recruiting here. Nick Saban is going to be like 3 weeks behind Brett Bielema in recruiting. So you love to see that. We'll see if the fruits of the labor pay off with recruiting. But from an optics perspective, Brett Bielema absolutely won the heck out of the offseason before this season started with when he got hired up until the first game. You know, a little bit of up and down, you know, with some coaching decisions, of course, during the season. But overall, pretty solid and already is optically, I think, winning technically the offseason now with already recruiting. So you love to see a coach that is and his assistants that are just on it, on the ball.
Yep.
The one thing that with all these coaching changes that are happening is like, I just want this staff to stay together for one more full year. Like there's so many great people on this staff that you just trust recruiting and trust with their players and how the development looked throughout for every single player this year that you just want it to stick together as much as you can.
Yeah. And that was kind of Brett's issue at Arkansas too, which is why you want to give yourselves a few years of runway, hopefully, but
Yeah, I know we were a little worried about Kevin Kane maybe reuniting with Sonny Dykes, but that's why you extend Ryan Walters early in the process so then he doesn't get poached. And ideally, a lot of there's good vibes on the staff. Maybe you can also increase the pool there, get Andy Boo a well-deserved raise because it sounds like they're really raving about him, and also a lot of the other assistants who are working their tails off on recruiting. So hopefully if we get another year of continuity, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's huge in college football. I think it's hard to keep staff on college football. Staffs are massive when you really think about it. You go just from the position coaches down to the assistants and the analysts. There's gonna be some turnover, but if you can keep the main position coaches alive, right? Andy, what's Andy Boo's section? Is it
linebackers?
No, I know. Oh. I'm talking state of Illinois.
Collection of townships.
Right, I need to know which townships are potentially going to be vacant if a coach does get poached, right? Like, we need insert small town in the state of Illinois here to absolutely be covered by insert position coach here. So that was fun. A nice little way to get into the offseason. Of course, a bowl game would have been fantastic, but I think year two, obviously, its early expectation is certainly 6+ wins.
Yeah, well, it'll be a fun off season of some people thinking we're getting Spencer Rattler, some people thinking we're getting comparable to Art Sikowski. So that's always a fun
Caleb
ordeal.
Williams is going to transfer because Riley's going to transfer. He's going to transfer him over, right?
Yeah.
If you had to pick someone now, I would imagine, is starting a quarterback. We don't know the name of the starting quarterback. It's probably not going to be Art. I would imagine the staff does not have the intention of making Art the starting quarterback going into next year.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know how good he is, so, and you've got, like, not great depth, but you've got depth, so, like, I think the whole point of a transfer is, like, here's the bar we need to clear. We're looking for guys who can run the offense better than what we have right now.
Absolutely. So, yeah, college football is certainly, well, college basketball and football, college sports are getting more interesting, of course, with the transfer portal. This will be interesting seeing the portal now as it's changed now without COVID, or at least less COVID than when, you know, we were earlier in the pandemic when it's just like full on transfer chaos. So that'll be pretty cool to see where everyone lands. But I know Sam is huge on Sam wants to see Mr. Johnson at quarterback.
That footwork.
Sam really wants to see him at quarterback. Which, hey, maybe we'll get a chance next year. Who knows? Okay, so the hat is safely back at home, which is nice to see. Hopefully we can keep it for a long, long time now under Coach Brett Bielema. Okay, Josh, I know you are excited. We are here on year two of Big Ten Fantasy Basketball. Last year, the inaugural year, we kind of worked out the kinks in it a little bit. I know this year is going to be better. It's going to be improved. So Josh, why don't you go ahead, and for people who maybe weren't involved with it last year, tell us what it's about and how we can get involved and what it looks like.
All right. So to start off, I'm going to go through the rules. We started this Big Ten Fantasy Basketball to try to get engagement between other fan bases, but it's mostly Illini fans so far. So if you have friends from other Big Ten schools that want to stay involved, watch other teams besides just Illinois once a week, twice a week, this is a good way to do so. What we're doing here is you see all those things on like Instagram, on Twitter, where it's like, here's a budget of $25. Players are rated at different amounts, $10, $9, $8, $7, $6, all the way to one. And you have to pick five players to be on your team. So what our rules are is you have the budget of $25, but you need to pick five players from five different Big Ten teams, and we'll track their stats throughout the year. Sadly, just given our technology limitations, we can't do we can't sub people out throughout the year, because that would just get very confusing on who you had at what time given our technology limitation. However, you'll get a point for every point a player scores, 2 points for every assist, 1 point for every rebound, -1 point for a turnover, and then steals and blocks are all worth one. What we noticed from last year was that the taller players did receive more points. So that's what we're going to keep the assists at two, just because they don't have the blocks. They don't have the rebounds that the smaller players would have.
Can we shout out the winner from last year also?
Kevin Gengler. He was actually a Rutgers fan.
Yeah.
He won last year.
He won the shirt, the Illinois shirt. Yeah.
He won the Illinois shirt. He must have loved it.
One of the 17.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for real. Yeah. So shout out. So Kevin, there's a target on your back this fall, this winter. If you can go back to back, that'd be quite impressive. But I'm sure that there are a rabid group of Illini Big Ten fans that are looking to take your throne.
Yeah, 100%. So last year we had around 105 people participate, and right now the most recent time I checked, we already have 105 people participating. Wow. And I think that's before any of us four put our entries in. Robert hasn't put in his entry yet, so there's still time. The first Big Ten game tips off on Friday, so we're just going to need everyone's entry in before then. If you have put in an entry and it doesn't follow the rules, i.e. it's over budget, or you have multiple players on the same team, then you are disqualified. Or you can if you know that you did that, you can DM us quickly. And
you can DM us your apology. We're looking for 150 to 200 words on why, yep, Kofi Coburn is the most underappreciated basketball player in the country. And then if Johnny's feeling generous enough that the apology is sympathetic enough, then he will decide if we're going to let you back in.
He actually just needs to see, we need to see it like an email and CC us so that like to ESPN to talk about Kofi at least once a week. All right. So there's a few other rules. Can't have more than five players, can't have less than five players. There's also a rule where like players not listed are worth $0. Unfortunately, you can't take Alfonso Plummer. All these lineups were based off of like projected preseason lineups with a few substitutions based off some injuries I saw. So that's why we have this list of players that are currently to select from. Just some other insights from last season for those that participated and saw the standing, that didn't participate and saw, didn't see the standings. The high value players did end up leading people to victory or higher places, like having Luca Garza last year. He was worth a lot of money, but he also carried your team to a victory. Just some things to keep in mind. With that, I'll get going with my team, and I'll start off with my Illini player, and that would be Sir Coleman Hawkins at $6. I just gave a spiel about how Luca was very valued last year, and I'm not selecting Kofi. Yeah, that's just what I'm doing. So Coleman is my $6 player. My highest valued player is going to be Jaden Ivey at $7. Then I'm also selecting another $6 player in Keegan Murray. So I have Keegan Murray from Iowa, Jaden Ivey from Purdue, and Coleman from Illinois. That combines for $19 worth of value. I am taking a $5 value for Alonzo Verge.
He's going to score a lot of points. Yeah.
He's going to score a lot of points.
What do you know?
And that's $24. And then my $1 player, my remaining player, is Peyton Willis from Minnesota. He's by far the highest $1 value out there right now.
Yeah, here's where I'll comment about your team. Seems like you like a lot of the sophomores. Between Coleman, Jaden, and Keegan, and they all have like TikToker names, Coleman, Jaden, Keegan. But what I will say is I think Jaden might be first team all Big Ten, but I don't know if he's going to be the fifth highest point scorer, just because when you're playing at Purdue, there's a lot of points to be scored between him, Travion, Zach Edey, and Sasha.
But only one ball. You're right.
Only one ball and only so many possessions, and they kind of slow it down a little bit. I would like to say, I'll dance a little bit on Dan Saladino, who was saying how he was low on Purdue and thought they weren't going to be that good this year and thought they were going to be maybe like the fourth best team. And now they're number two in the country. So obviously rooting for them to have a subpar Big Ten season, but Purdue is very good, and we should be a little nervous about that.
Very, very nervous about them.
And okay, so I can. Any other comments about Josh's team, or are we good to move on? Okay, so my squad, Josh. I thought about the most expensive players and also my loyalty to certain players. And I just couldn't pass up picking Kofi at the $10 value. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. We also had a similar thought with Keegan Murray, taking him at the $6 value. Just a lot of points to be scored there for Iowa. On that kind of same theme, also went with Jonathan Davis out of Wisconsin, because lot of points to replace from those guys. And then with another pick, look for another big man, Cliff Omoruye out of Rutgers, with Miles Johnson gone. Once again, hopefully a lot of rebounds, a lot of points for him. And then also went with Peyton Willis. What I think is interesting about Peyton Willis is he went to Minnesota, or he went to Vanderbilt, then he went to Minnesota, then he transferred to College of Charleston, then he transferred back to Minnesota. So very wayward road for him, but
man, hopefully this guy's been everywhere. He's only worth $1. Jeez. Yeah. Give the guy at least $2. It's impressive. It's a good pick.
Yeah.
Johnny, our teams.
I was just going to quickly give a comment on Johnny's team here. And when I was going through, so first off, Keegan by far has had the most points to date in non-Big Ten play. He's still at the $6 value on purpose because I don't respect who Iowa has played.
Way to make this objective. Yeah. You could have just stopped that after I don't respect Iowa, and you wouldn't be fooling anyone.
I might have created these values before the season even started, so I was not going to go through the
whole. Well, no, that's how it should be. If they already start out playing their coverage, then that's on you to figure that out.
Right, exactly. And then the other thing is, there was two rosters when I was creating this. Minnesota and Penn State, where it, I was like, who do I even select? I have no idea anyone on these people's team.
Yeah, Minnesota's looking.
It was rough.
Tough. Yeah, absolutely. Sam, go ahead. You want to?
Sure. Johnny and I's teams eerily similar. Peyton Willis, Aruyi, Kofi Coburn. In the middle of my lineup, I went Max Christie. I'm not hoping he's a breakout year, but it could help me in some other ways. And then I went with Jaden Ivey. So Kofi, Ivey, Aruyi, Christie, Peyton Willis.
I just got to say, Max Christie, stay home. All right. I'm excited for Ty Rogers to DM up next year.
Max Christie's a $7 guy if he comes to Illinois, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Easily.
So I think a lot of people are going to pick Jacob Grandison. I think it's kind of like with NCAA March Madness, where everyone's sort of picking a popular team to win a certain game. And if everyone loses, then the one guy who didn't pick that team gets like a shit ton of points. So I had Grandison, and I think everyone's going to pick him. So I'm taking Tyler Wall instead. He looked really good last year. Did Tyler Wall, and I think he's a guy who could be poised for a breakout in their system. They lost a lot of guys. I certainly think he could step up. I think Ayala is another guy who maybe is a steal given maybe a down year for Maryland. He's been around for a long time at Maryland, and he is probably going to score a lot of points. I think he's probably better than any of the $9 players there. So I like Ayala there. Again, Ivy seems to be the popular pick, but I also think that he's probably a steal at $7. Josh, how did he end up only at $7, not higher than that? I'm curious, because he's, I think, going to be a super popular pick as well. And I think he's...
You're talking about Jaden Ivy?
Yeah.
One second, let me get the exact numbers.
I mean, he's got to be better than Bowie or Kopp or Stefanovic. I guess we're projecting. I think
last year he was 63rd in the Big Ten.
A lot of pundits have just projected him to skyrocket to be a top player in the Big Ten, and I guess I'm kind of banking on that as well. And then I also picked Omari. I think when you get down to those $1-$2 values, if you just pick guys who have been around for a while, like Cliff Spin at Rutgers, then you're probably in a good position. And I skipped Toussaint at Iowa. So I do respect Iowa, Josh, so I had to throw that in there at $3. So Ayala, Ivy, Wall, Toussaint, and Omari is my team.
All right, let's all make sure we put that in the system, and should we have like a friendly wager between us all, or
yeah, winner buys tickets to the first and second round.
That wasn't funny.
Yeah, we lost a lot of money on that last year. I will say I appreciate the solidarity, boys. No Hunter Dickinson picked. Love that.
Did we have a Michigan pick?
Clean sheet.
Yes, there we go.
You can see our objectivity reign supreme here. So if any Michigan fans are listening or want to join this and put in Hunter.
We only had one Wisconsin pick, right?
Yeah, I had Tyler Wall.
Yeah, no EJ Liddell either. You could have stayed home and been a legend, EJ. But
or be
fine.
Really good at Ohio State as well.
Turns out we hate every team.
Yeah.
Hey, no one picked Curbelo.
I love Minnesota,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I love beating
Minnesota.
You guys every
No one picked Curbelo. So, yeah, good luck to all of the participants. We'll be giving out like standings kind of at various points during the year as we did last year. Let's hope Robert puts the correct team in this year. I know last year he got disqualified for an invalid team. So Robert, I'm very interested to see his team this year. All right, good luck everyone. Again, Illinois pulling through tonight, 82-72 against Notre Dame. Looking forward. Next game is Friday night at 6 p.m. A little Big Ten play. I love those little Big Ten teasers in the midst of non-con. Really is a nice little almost like palate cleanser, nice little measuring stick here. Rutgers, they're 3-3. They're struggling a little bit, but I certainly won't. I mean, right now, Illinois cannot afford to overlook anyone, but that'll be really interesting to see Illinois right now because they've been so up and so down. So it'll be really interesting to see if they can kind of, you know, find a little bit of a level here with a Big Ten team on the horizons on Friday night.
Yeah, it's weird. Don't look past Rutgers. They still have so many guys who they've returned, whether it be Ron Harper Jr., Geo Baker.
Cliff Amorey.
Yeah, like they still got a lot of guys.
Yeah, they do.
And even though they haven't been great, we'll see how they do against Clemson in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Yeah. And obviously, like, losing to DePaul is not good, but they haven't had any, like, terrible losses, but just please don't overlook them. Let's just have a clean sheet after a couple of these neutral away game losses. Like, let's protect home court. Absolutely. We would appreciate that.
I love it. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will catch you on the next episode. ILL.